Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday. And thank you for joining us here on the Best Ever You Show. We have a really special guest with us today. We have Barbara Ann Mojica of littlemisshistory.com and bamauthor.me. And she's all over the internet and social media, which I love, on Facebook, littlemisshistory.com, and Twitter, bamauthor, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Goodreads, everywhere where you want to find author and historian Barbara Ann Mojica. She is there, and she's very engaging and also an Amazon top reviewer, which I love. And I'm very grateful for Sally Huss for making this introduction so that you could be on Best Ever You today. So welcome to the show, Barbara. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I give this, we're a live podcast, so I make sure and say that to everybody out there who's feeling very stressed right now and not so blessed, that as you're listening to us live, please remember that we are not a live source of information for COVID-19 or coronavirus. And please, if you're having a true emergency, this is not a show to call in. And the nature of this show isn't that, but I know we've been doing shows about stress, anxiety, what to say to kids, college students, high school students, and so forth these past 10 days or so. So, but if you are calling for those purposes, please make sure that you follow the community guidelines. We are not a 911 or live source of information. People have been kind of calling here and there. And our website, besteveryou.com, does have some links to all the latest information on the coronavirus and so forth. But really make sure that you follow up with CDC and all the true and trusted resources for your information in regard to that. Because we are not going to talk about that today, right, Barbara? We're going to talk about children's books today. But as podcasters and media and so forth, we've been asked to kind of give a little bit of a speech before our shows and so forth about where to redirect people. Thank you so much again for being on the show. And I want to just kind of dive right into your books if we could. And for those frustrated that you can't see us right now, I think we're going to follow up with a video, maybe like a Facebook Live or Zoom or something like that, where we can kind of see your books and so forth. But for now, I would just love to know like what your books are about, where people can find your books. And I even want to know what your favorite one is, if you'll tell us.
That's a tough question. What's my favorite? That's like asking which one is your favorite child. Really don't know. I have a couple of favorites. I mean, I really like the Sequoia National Park book because that one not only has history, but it's a bit of a science lesson as well. I talk about the trees themselves a little bit, about how they grow, what can be made from them. And then I also discuss the environment because, unbelievably, Sequoia National Park is the most polluted national park, which you would not think, but because of all of the pollution in the valleys, you know, the diesel trucks and the smog and the... It's actually at some points healthy to be in the park, and they post signs that it's unhealthy to be there, which is really so unfortunate in a beautiful national park. I really enjoyed doing the North Pole book. Again, that one is history, but it also has a bit of science in it. I talk about the animals. I talk about the seasons. I talk about a little bit about geography, latitude, longitude. And then, of course, I give the history of how the whole evolution of Santa Claus. And I talk about the different countries because it's interesting that the North Pole, of course, it's in international waters, but there are actually 8 countries that have territories in and around the Arctic. So I talk about the different countries. I talk about the flag. So it's a little bit of a lot of things. Some of the books are a little bit more, strictly historical, like Ford's Theater, of course, that, you know, I talk about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and Ford's Theater itself. But then again, of course, I talk a little bit about theater and theater history. So, it's kind of a broad experience in all of my books, I want children to have opportunities to go in different directions. So I talk about things that are not as well known. For instance, in my Intrepid book, I have a book about Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, I talk about some of the people that are not well known. Like there's one of the people featured in the book is Alonzo Swan Jr. And he was one of the African American sailors who was on the boat, and he stayed at his post during a kamikaze attack and helped rescue other sailors. And then he was given a Bronze Star. But he really deserved something a lot more than that, and it was 50 years later that he finally, received the recognition that he deserved for that attack. So I talk about, well-known characters like, when I talk about Sequoia National Park, and I'm talking about, I talk about John Muir, but... a lot of children don't know that John Muir was a pacifist, and he even went to Canada during the Civil War to avoid the draft because he didn't want to fight. He was a pacifist. And I talk about people like Cale Dixon Tharp, which nobody ever heard of, but he was actually one of the first settlers in the park. So I try to give kids insights into people that, we don't all hear about. They're not the major, major players in history. But I try to let children know that we're all characters in history. Each of us is a part of history. The day we're born, we become a part of history. And history is about people and places, but it's not just famous people in places. It's ordinary people who get up every day and go to work and go to school. So
that is so well put.
That's a little bit about the focus.
I love that. The second you're born, we're all part of. You're part of history. I really love that. Do you mind if I quote you on that? That's a great quote from you.
No.
Or do you say that all the time? That's the first time I'm hearing it. Could be. I love that. That's so well put.
Well, my character, my character, Little Miss History, she narrates the stories, and she's a cartoon-like character. Mm-hmm. And her famous, her favorite saying is, if you don't know your history, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's really what I mean. We have to understand where we've come from in order to know where we are today and in order to prepare for where we're going in the future, because history isn't just, if you learn history, maybe you won't repeat your mistakes, but it's all about using what you've learned to learn from it and to try to take, other avenues. So,
Do you notice that people are either history buffs or they aren't? Do you notice the sharp like it kind of like people either know their geography or they don't, or their history or they, you know, or their math or they don't. Do you see that? Do you see that? Or do
I think, yeah, maybe, but I think a lot of that is due to the fact that here in the United States, anyway, history is largely ignored in the curriculum, at least in the early stages. So, I mean, when I was growing up, I did have history as part of my curriculum. It wasn't the most exciting subject for most people because, the way it was taught, where you had the textbook and you read a paragraph from the textbook and then, okay, you memorize the facts about these people. But today, in the elementary grades, the focus is on reading, writing, and math. So, as a former teacher and administrator, I've spent many, many years in the schools, and it's really, upsetting that, children are saying you have to learn to read and write first. Now, that does make sense, but then when you think the emphasis is all on the testing, and what did they do in the testing? They present children with information pieces to read or write about, and the information pieces are about things that have happened in history. So, but children have no context. They really don't know how to place these things because they're not reading about them, they're not hearing about them. Same thing with civics. It's really not taught in the schools at all either. So it's not until children get into the late elementary grades or even into high school that they even have a formal, course in history. So I think that's partially the fault of our education system, that people maybe aren't interested in because, they don't have much of a background in it.
I think where we are here in Maine, our elementary school did, and again, it's just my experience with one school, but did an incredible job teaching American history at a very young age. We had White House tea parties where all the kids in the class dressed up like as characters and stayed in the character and the part for various things. And I've seen them do some very clever things to teach history. And I know when I was a kid, I'm older, I'm almost 51. I remember distinctly in second grade, they gave us almost like and it's a second grade level, but characters in history to like research, like go find a book about this person or two books and read them and then talk about them and so forth. So interesting way. So I love what you're doing because it teaches it in such a better way to digest maybe for kids. So was there a moment where you came up with this idea where you want to share with us? There's got to be a point where you're like, hey, I've got an idea.
I spent 40 years in education. I started teaching when I was 20. And I began teaching in a regular elementary school setting. I taught a lot of the grades, second, third, fifth, even seventh. And then I went into special ed. I became interested in special education. So I went into special ed, and I worked for quite a few years with special ed preschool children who were severely delayed. Then I became a special ed principal and an administrator for a large school system. So I kind of had a smattering of different experiences, like, curriculum and one-on-one teaching, even working with really severe children. So all of those things taken together gave me kind of like a wide range of experiences in the way different types of children learn. So sure. When I did retire from formal teaching, I I missed it, you know, of course. And yeah. I hadn't had that much of an opportunity to teach history per se, because I did work with a lot of really young children. So I wanted to kind of combine my two passions, you know, the history and kids. And I thought, well, it would be great to write a series of books for kids, but I really didn't have a clue how I was going to approach that. So I'm married to someone who is an illustrator and an artist, and he's been drawing since the age of 5.
Wow.
So he said to me, well, why don't you have a character to narrate the story? Because, you know, I wanted to make it fun and I wanted to make it exciting. So he developed the character for me, and the cartoon-like character, Little Miss History, is based on a younger version of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to travel, and as a child, I didn't do too much traveling because my parents didn't have a lot of extra money for travel. But as soon as I got old enough to go out and start working, I started traveling. So I've been all over the world. You know, I've been to about 35 countries, and I've been to more than half the states, and I love to travel. So I combined that, and the character my husband came up with is a younger me. I used to like to hike a lot. So we came up with this kind of camping slash park ranger type of outfit. So Little Miss History wears this kind of camp outfit that's a brownish color similar to the park rangers. And she wears pigtails. I used to wear pigtails a lot. And she wears these oversized rose-colored glasses. And that kind of reflects in an optimistic view of the world. So she sees the world through rose-colored glasses. And then she wears hiking boots, but my father had huge feet. So the hiking boots are oversized, kind of in memory of my father. So that people always ask her, well, why are those boots so big? That's where they came from, and it makes the character funny, too. And my husband exaggerated the ears, you know, to make her look more cartoony.
Sure.
So that's how the character came about. And she's like this kind of teenager who goes around the world, you know, looking for exciting people and places to explore. And she narrates all the books. So right now I have 12 books in the Little Miss History Travels 2 series. And I have a coloring book also, which is a coloring slash activity book. So in that book, we have some of the portraits from different books. And they're done in kind of a grayscale so that if you use watercolor or you use pencil, when you finish it, it looks pretty professional when you finish coloring it.
Beautiful.
And I also have famous quotes from history in there. So that book's a little bit different. And then there's one other book. I have one book that's a trilogy. What I did is combined the 3 New York City books. I have a book on Ellis Island. I have a book on the Statue of Liberty. And I have a book on Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. And a lot of the teachers who use the books in the classroom wanted to have the 3 New York City adventures in one book. So that book is called The Adventures of Little Miss History. And it has 3 separate books in one. And I may do more of those as time goes on around themes.
Well, you guys certainly have won some awards. That's pretty amazing. There's how many awards have you received now?
And
I know it's not a lot
awards.
Awards, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, about 24 awards. Well, they've won Eric Hover, author, independent author, Book of the Year, Bragg Medallions. This is the Book Readers Appreciation Group, Readers Favorite Awards, the Book Excellence Awards, and most of the books have won in the category of children's nonfiction or juvenile nonfiction.
Do you think
so? The book.
Go ahead.
The target age is the books are. Picture books, in a sense that you know they're heavily illustrated. Every each scene has illustrations, but they are also for a little bit of an older audience. They're not for really really little kids per se, because the independent reading level is more of a 4 to 6. Grade reading level, and the books, most of them do have glossaries to explain more difficult vocabulary. So the books kind of span a range, and when I visit schools, I usually do grades K-6, and you know I adapt the material to the grade that I'm working with.
I'm going to randomly just sort of open up the phone lines here. So caller from the 704 area code, did you want to ask a question or are you just listening? Your phone is live. Just listening?
Hey, just listening in.
Okay, thank you so much. Right. I'd probably just take a few. I might screen the calls, Barbara, a little bit just to make sure people are. I don't have a producer with me today, and usually we put callers kind of in the queue in the background. But so if you want to call in, you can. It's 646-787-8537 to listen live or ask a question. But I will open up your phone line live on air and ask you whether you're going to ask a question or not, or if you're just listening. So I see a bunch of you, and I can see people typing in, no, don't, I'm listening. So that's fine, too. Barbara, I noticed that you are a huge supporter of other people who write books. I mean, we wouldn't be doing this show today if it weren't for the amazing Sally Huss. And I've had the privilege of collaborating with her on a couple of books here recently, one on food allergies and one on self-confidence. And it just says something when another author recommends another author to be on radio shows or reviews their books. Or what's your philosophy there? Because I think there's a lot to be learned from it.
Well, my philosophy is kind of we're all in this together, because the way the publishing industry is set up today, most of us are on our own as far as learning the ropes and getting published and marketing especially, which is a whole other animal. And even authors who are with what we would say, quote, traditional publishing houses are doing most of the work on their own today. So, I mean, I've learned, I've pretty much learned from my mistakes and what I try to share with other authors, because, you know, I've made most of the mistakes first and then unfortunately learned second. And the same thing with marketing, it's just it takes a huge chunk of your time, and you know, most of us would wish that we would have more time for writing and have to do less marketing, but that's not the case. But I've done a few things. I've done some interviews, and I've done some YouTube videos with advice for authors. I did a couple of videos with another author who is also a teacher, Christine Calabrese, and we did one on tips for teachers who are interested in writing on YouTube. That's on my YouTube channel. And also I did one about book sign, you know, setting up book signings and book events, advice on what you need. But I found a great book. Unfortunately, I didn't find it until after I had already been writing a couple of years.
of course.
Navigating Indie World by Carol Roman and Julie Gerber. And that book is great if you're starting out. It goes step by step, you know, what you should think about before you begin writing the book. And then it goes chapter by chapter, how to approach your book cover, how to approach your editing, how to approach your marketing, what to do on social media. That's a great book. And then, of course, there's the industry standard, the writer's market book, writer's market for, they have a couple of different editions, but in the writer's market books, and that's done by Writer's Digest, that's kind of like an encyclopedia, Bible. It's huge. It comes out every year. You don't have to buy it every year because they update it, but there are minor changes. And it gives you a good overview because it tells you what the going rates are for different things. It tells you how to write an inquiry letter. It has a zillion places where you can submit your book for an award or a book contest. It lists things by
it's such a good book, I think.
Topic,
yeah,
you know, it's a huge book. So, you know, it's a great reference book to have.
And I think I use that. Yeah, I think both of those that you mentioned are good for whatever kind of author you are as well, whether you're traditionally published or independent or, you know, extremely collaborative and independent or, you know, whatever it is. Those are good resources. I know I started out in when I approached one of my friends when I was about 38 and I said, you know, my goal by the time I'm 40 is to write this book. And that was my first glimpse into the world of writing books and so forth, and it was a children's book and all this stuff, and since then I've traditionally published and independently published. And I would say to anybody listening that the marketing is really the same pretty much. unless you're already super world famous, but even then you're still going to market your own book a little bit too, you know. But there's this notion, I think, Barbara, and then chime in and interrupt me here, but, you know, like, oh, I've written this book, and so here's my world fame fortune and the red carpet and my private jet rolling up, and that's really not how it works at all. There is a lot of work involved with writing the book, producing the book, and marketing the book, whether it's independent or traditionally published. And the one thing I think people are always out for is everybody's always like, oh, I want to get this published by someone. And I think people fail to realize that sometimes that can be a 1 to 3 year process also from concept to actually getting it out the door.
Right. And another good reason for networking with other authors is learning how different people do things. One of the reasons I read so many books and review so many books is to learn what's out there, you know, what other people are thinking about, how other people approach things.
People are absolutely brilliant, I swear. I do the same thing. I love other people's work sometimes more than my own. I'm funny like that. Do you know what I mean? Don't you find people just fascinating in what they can achieve and do?
I mean, I do. And there's so many different, you know, with children's books, a lot of the ideas have been out there for a long time.
Sure.
But there are so many different ways to approach it. And it's amazing how many fresh and new ways there are. When I read all of these books, you know, I sometimes I, you know, sometimes I give people advice on, you know, and most of the time they're really grateful for the advice, you know, or, you know, I didn't think of that. And it's the same with me, you know, somebody will say something and I'll be like, well, that just never even struck me, you know. So it's a great collaboration. And what I do with a lot of the reviews, not all of them, but I put them on my blog. I have a WordPress blog, bamauthor.me, and a couple of times a week I put some of the reviews up on my blog, and I call it a family-friendly blog because I review all kinds of books on there. Most of them are children's books, but some of them are books about marketing or a business. And I say family friendly because, you know, some of them are for adults as well. And I post them as a kind of resource for people looking for books, you know. So it kind of does serves a dual purpose. I enjoy reading the books, and, you know, I get to share with other people as well.
Is there one book where that you absolutely love that isn't yours that you're like, oh, I wish I would have written that or thought of that or illustrated that? Is there a couple favorites that you have that aren't yours?
Children's books or?
Sure. Yeah, just something fun. I just thought it might be a fun question because, you know, it's always fun when another author recommends another author. And you can't say Sally Huss. Sally, we love you.
Oh, you know, she's just got so many to
Sally
choose from.
Her.
I mean, like 150
books,
you know.
Somebody other than Sally.
Carol Roman's books are great. She does a series on culture and history. She has a whole slew of books. She recently did one on spies and code breakers, and she wrote about the spies during World War II, and I think that was great. That was really, really interesting for kids. This was, most of her books are picture books, but this one was a middle grade young adult book, and it was a chapter book. So that, you know, I would say probably ages 8 and up could handle it, but it was more for a middle grade audience. And it was fascinating. Mm. She had some pictures. It was part biographical, so she had some of the life stories of these people, and it was part history, and she had some maps, and it was just like the whole integrated picture. So that was one of my recent favorites. I like Melinda Kinsman in Great Britain. She does a whole bunch of books for kids that are pretty much elementary grade, but she's got books about dragons, and she has this whole Top of the Wardrobe series, which is about a collection of children's stuffed toys that come to life and do different things. I love her books.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate that because I'm always looking. I have four boys and they're older. They're 18, 20, 22, and 24. But oh my gosh, I am such a children's book fan. I have so many children's books upstairs. I'm like, all right, you guys are all older, but I'm still reading these. And I'll just read them over and over again. I love children's books. So we've started we've moved a blog. We've had a blog within besteveryou.com for 10 years now, giving Elizabeth's Best Award for books that we love, but we've separated it out as of January of this year to besteveryoubooks.com. So it is a budding little book blog award area too, but not a paid award, just a blog and an award. So we're going to feature children's books with purpose, books with messages, books that teach, you know, all those, the same kind of thing, you know, just books that we find, you know, useful for kids and adults as well. Will be the carryover of the self-help books as well. So, and so Barbara, we're going to put you up there if that's okay. I put you up on besteveryou.com today, but once I can, I'm going to be ordering your book so I get the actual paperback. And right now with Amazon, it's a little hit or miss with when things are being delivered, understandably, and so forth. But are your, can you tell us, I know we have to go here pretty soon because of time, but could you tell us if a couple of, which books of yours would be available on ebook in case people wanted to get a hold of those
right.
in this time right now?
Well, the ones that are available on ebook right now are the Little Miss History Travels to Mount Rushmore. That was the first book in the series. And readers will notice that there are a lot. That one doesn't have a lot of photography in it. It's almost all drawing. Most of the other books have actual photographs that my husband and I have taken at the sites.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's available on as an ebook, Mount Rushmore. Also, the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum, and that one's very popular with the boys as well. That one is
well, that's good to know.
Kit and Kindle, the boys like they like the Sequoia, especially they like the Intrepid book, the Mount Vernon book. The third book that's definitely available right now on ebook is the Ford's Theater book, Little Miss History Travels to Ford's Theater.
I'll make sure and put those out. Yeah. Good. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being with us.
Oh, and the Adventures book. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
One,
okay. The New York
one,
Adventures.
The trilogy
one is...
book, the one that has
yeah.
the three books in one. The Adventures of Little Miss History, that's also available in ebook.
Okay. I'll do better sleuthing and find those and make sure I put those links out. And then. With just a few minutes here to go, is there anything that we haven't asked you today that you would want to talk about before we go? Loved having you on. It was so much fun to learn about your books and you. Thank you. What a treat.
Oh, let's see. Anything? Oh, gee. I think we covered a lot.
We got it? Okay. You have a question from an audience, a listener right now. They want to tell of all your social media where you hang out the most.
Where I hang out the most. I'm on Twitter a lot. I have a page on Facebook.
Okay.
It's facebook.com and then /littlemisshistory.com. That's my website, littlemisshistory.com. I'm also on YouTube. I'm developing my YouTube channel now, so it's Barbara Ann Mojica on YouTube.
Perfect.
And yeah, I'm pretty much I'm everywhere around. But I've been posting every day. Oh, this is something yeah I'd like to add. I've been posting resources for distance learning. So I have a lot of contacts with homeschool people, teachers, and authors. So we've been doing a story time with authors on Facebook every day. I did one of those sessions myself with Ellis Island. But they can check out Storytime Adventures with Authors on Facebook. Every day on my littlemisshistory.com page on Facebook, I post resources that I find. So I've been trying to update parents with information as to, you know, where to find good resources
That's
while
really
the kids
helpful.
Are home.
Yeah, I know I would have loved that. And you know, if my kids were tinier and in elementary school and junior high and so forth, that would have been really helpful. If you see any college ones or anything like that, make sure you post those too.
Well, some
of
them are, you know, there's a lot of Common Sense Media does a lot, you know, for all the grades. And, you know, if you look through my page, I've got like as every day I post stuff. So I've got
definitely
on there.
Yeah, and we're pretty well connected with teachers in Best Ever You some of my friends from high school and so forth are superintendents or of entire districts or principals. We have a lot of listeners today, so I'm sure they're finding that really helpful. So, Barbara, thank you so much for being on Best Ever You. I hope you'll come back and talk more about your books and tell us, you know, as you put new books out into the world, we hope we're one of your first stops to announce them and all that good stuff moving forward, because I'm really big fan of your work and big fan of you, and thank you so much.
I appreciate that, and thank you again so much for having me. It was a pleasure, my pleasure.
All right, thank you, everybody. Stay safe and well, and thank you so much for listening to Best Ever You. Thank you. Thanks again to Barbara. LittleMissHistory.com and BAMAuthor.media are her websites. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.